What motivated the early church? Well, every time they got together, you know what they were asking each other? What are you eating? And it wasn't keto. I mean, we are so caught up in the physical of everything. You know, it's just, by the way, the new, you know, NIH, National Institute of Health of Britain has declared that keto is unhealthy. And we're ruining our bodies with all this overfatting. I don't even know what keto is, you know. But you know what I mean. What are you eating? How are you doing it listening to God by feeding on his word? That's your scripture reading. What are you chewing? You know, most believers gulp and swallow whole, you know, and that's why they have indigestion. They don't chew. They don't take time to apply God's word to their life. What are you memorizing and meditating on? Those are two things that are very important for spiritual health. This is what the early church met for. They did not meet to say the deacons assigned us to the wrong Sunday school room and we give a lot of money, or the youth pastor is not spending enough time with my child, or my daughter was not allowed to sing, you know, or play her flute, you know, which is, I have been a pastor for decades. I've heard it all, you know, many times. But you know what? The purpose you come to church is you're looking around to see someone that you can cause a paroxysm in their life spiritually, to make them love the Lord more, love other people more, and do more good for God. That's my sole purpose, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Every time I gather until the day, I want to influence as many believers as possible. Is that what you plan for when you go to church? Most believers since COVID don't go to church. I think we've lost about half according, well, I know my mentor said that it's the greatest sifting, cleaning out, and all the lost, pagan, unsaved people aren't going to church. But there are a lot of wonderful saints that aren't going to church. They're still afraid they're going to catch something and get that personal rapture, you know. They want the group one, you know. And you know what I mean. And so there is not a lot of this asking people what they're eating and what they're chewing. And that's not all we're supposed to be asking. We're all supposed to talk about their breathing. Do you have breathing problems? Are you talking to God? Do you pray without ceasing? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in the Lord's Prayer section, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And it's an imperative. He's actually commanding, not the recitation of those 65 words or 73, depending on what version of the Bible you have, not the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Rather, he's saying, follow this pattern. Start every day of your life focusing on your Father, who happens to still be seated on the throne, who happens to know your needs before you mention them. I mean, he's aware of every bird that hops, or depending on your version of the Bible, drops to the ground. Remember, the Father's aware of every sparrow that falls to the ground or hops. It's interesting. There's a variation in the Greek words. But he knows everything on that throne, and nothing surprises him. We already covered that the first time because of his attributes. And he's up there watching us. And what is the first thing he wants us after we focus on him in the Lord's Prayer? Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the very next petition? Thy kingdom come. You know what Martin Luther called that when he preached through this? The terrible petition. You know what that's inviting? I submit to your rule. Your kingdom come in my life. Do you know what believers would be like if they started focusing on the Father of the throne and know he's in control of everything and then check in and say, your kingdom, your will, your I submit to your plan in my life. You know, there's this neat group Life Action, I think it's called. They pass out chalk at their crusades, and they have everybody, when they get done with the service, they carry their chalk out to the parking lot, and before they get in their car, they draw a circle on the blacktop. I don't know what they do with the churches that haven't blacktopped their parking lots, but you know what I mean, the blacktop or cement. And then they draw the circle, they step inside, and they say, your will, your kingdom come in my life. I'm submitting to you, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, because I want to do your will. And you know what's really neat? I remember when they did it at our church. As a pastor, you're usually the last one out. And so after everything was all locked up and, you know, I had closed up everything, I walked out. It was the most beautiful thing to see the parking lot filled with circles. Of course, the rain washed them away the next rain, but I thought the whole congregation took their chalk, drew their circle, surrendered to God. You know, that's something I think we should do quite regularly. I mean, the campfire service is coming up. You know, it would be neat if everybody, every time it was possible, said, yes, I surrender. Yes, I publicly, I want everyone to know I'm submitting to my Father. I want his will in my life. Well,